Well, we're continuing in the story, and these next few chapters, as we're in the New Testament, there is so much information. So we're just going to have to focus on a few things through each of the chapters to try to give you an overview of what Jesus is doing in the New Testament and the ministry that is a part of the story. Pretty excited about the way God is working, and I hope you've been encouraged as we've been walking through the story and God's been speaking to your heart as well. This morning we're talking about Jesus' ministry begins. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning, help us to hear your voice, and we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Unless they are born again. Could you pull me down just a little bit? It feels like I'm a little loud. There's an importance of understanding that that particular message of being born again is given to us. It's kind of the introduction of Jesus' ministry, and that's a message that all of us need to hear. We'll talk a little bit about that as we move further into this, but Jesus' ministry begins with a very clear testimony. As we see this, we see the importance and the understanding of what he would want us to see. Let it be so now, it is prosper, it is prosper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. This is what Jesus' words were before he was baptized. And so when he came to that point, I mean, realistically, John said, like, who am I to baptize Jesus? Now, John already, his cousin, was very aware of that. Remember when Jesus' mother, Mary, and Elizabeth, John's mother, when they met each other before the child was born, that they kind of, both within them, they felt the baby kick and respond to the greeting that was there. And so already, even before they were born, there was a recognition of voice that was there. I just remember personally when my son was born. Maybe you have stories that are like that as well, but I can remember when he was born and the doctor set him up. Right at that moment, my wife spoke and said something, and he turned his head to her voice, and it was just like, wow. Because he'd been listening to that voice for the previous 9 months, and he recognized that voice. It's just so much confirmation that life begins before birth. Life is there, and there's a recognition. And that's exactly what was taking place. And so as we see this, now, after all of this has happened, we see John responding to the fact that Jesus has come for him to be baptized. And John said, it should be me that should be baptized by you. And Jesus said, no, this is it. This is the way it's supposed to be, and to fulfill this. And so baptism is a symbolic act demonstrating that new believers have abandoned their former ways and have embarked on a new life. Okay, it's a symbolic act. That's what we do whenever we practice baptism. We make sure that it's recognized that this is a symbolic act of your new life, then abandoning your former ways, no longer going in that way, headed into a whole new direction. Now, if you've never been baptized, I would really encourage you to be thinking about this as we're talking about this morning, that should be a step that you should take. In the early church, it was the first thing they did after they believed. When they were born again, first thing they did was they were baptized. And so we see that there's a great importance. We don't have access to a baptismal every week, but we do periodically have one coming up, not too far distant future, where we will have that as a part of our worship and a part of our service. And people who have said, I need to be baptized, will participate and be a part of that. We'll make it as easy for you as possible. If you say, oh, I don't like crowds, I don't like speaking, write it down. We'll read it. I mean, we'll tape it ahead of time. We'll do whatever we can do. We don't want there to be an obstacle that's going to hinder you from taking that step that Jesus has already given us the importance of why we need to do it. Now, if Jesus needed to be baptized, like, shouldn't we? I mean, shouldn't it be a part of our lives? It's that act that says, I am making a clear testimony that I used to go in that direction. I'm no longer. I'm headed in a new direction. Well, Jesus wanted to make a clear statement of the beginning of his public ministry. of his public life for ministry. And so that's where he started. So we see this very beginning. This was a pretty critical moment that takes place, because it's one of those moments that we see the Trinity all in place at this moment. We have Jesus, God in Jesus in body. We have God in spirit in the... Come on, you read this story, right? How did the spirit... The dove, yes, come on. So we see, he said it was like a dove. The spirit came like a dove. Now, we don't know if it's literally a dove or it was like a dove, but we know the presence of the spirit was there. And we know that the presence of God, the Father, was there in the voice. Okay, some of you are like following a little faster here. That's good. So we know all three were present. Three in one, all three were present at the baptism of Jesus. So we have the body of Jesus, the spirit like a dove, and the voice of the Father. And all of that were recognized and noticed. This is the beginning of his public ministry. So it's a very important aspect that we would see. Now, Jesus calls us to baptism to share with our world of the life change that has come to us. And so as we look through the New Testament, we see very clear that baptism was one of those first things. And that was what took place. And we're talking believer's baptism. We're not talking infant baptism. Infant baptism or infant dedication would have been a decision of the parents to raise their child. Baptism as a believer means at some point after you gave your life to Christ, you wanted to make a public statement, share in what Jesus has commanded and given to us to be able to celebrate your new life in Christ. So, great importance. And so this is a statement to the world of what God has done inside your heart. Now, believers, the baptism was the first act of obedience of the new believers in the New Testament. So whenever we see that, we see that that was the first thing. Here's the scripture given to us in Acts. Repent, Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Okay, guess who's far off? Us. So this promise is for us. And so we understand, he said, and for all whom the Lord our God will call, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That must have been some big baptism. How about it? Wow, that would have been awesome to be able to see, and 3,000 people being baptized, 3,000 people giving their heart to Christ. What an incredible life change that had happened, and they wanted to make a testimony of their life change, of what God had done in their heart. They wanted to make sure that this was a known situation. That is the message that is given to each one of us. So baptism is an important step in our own personal journey of telling the world of what God has done in our hearts. Certainly the message that was given when Jesus gave his final instructions to the disciples in Matthew 28, as was said, he said that we should be able to baptizing them in the name. So we're to try to make disciples, and baptism is a part of that, and it's an important part. Now, we practice baptism by immersion, which is fully under the water and back, because baptism is a symbolic work of death and resurrection. So you are sharing in what Christ has done for us. You are being buried, the watery grave, and we've never lost one yet, and then resurrected. And so that is what is taking place. So you're sharing in what Christ did for you. And that's why baptism is such an important step in our own personal journey, in our personal life. Now, Jesus' ministry was the next thing, as we see, it's being tested by the enemy. So not only was baptism the beginning, but then what took place? When there was a high, that was the baptism, you can always anticipate the enemy's going to sneak in and try to attack. And so you're gonna, if you're prepared for this, I'm not trying to be a negative Debbie Downer here, but I'm just saying that if you're prepared, whenever there's a high, you know the enemy is going to try to rob that. And so you just make sure that you're aware that no, he is greater. God is greater. I am trusting him for whatever comes into my life. Now, what happened was, we see that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came to him. So, when the temptation came, three times Jesus was tempted by the enemy. Three times in three different aspects. So you can, if the enemy could tempt Jesus, you're going to be tempted. Let me say, you are never going to be free from temptation on this earth. Never. You are always going to be subject to temptation. And temptation is an area of weakness where you might fall if you don't trust God to help you. Now, temptation is not sin, because we know Jesus was tempted and he was without sin. So when temptation comes to your thoughts and you are thinking those thoughts, you say, I have horrible, evil thoughts. Really? Well, that's called temptation. Now, what are you going to do with those horrible, evil thoughts? That's when the choice comes in. You don't have a choice about what thoughts strike your head. I mean, you see something and boom, a thought's there. I didn't have a choice. It just happened in my brain. Now, what I'm going to do with it right now becomes a choice. And you can only sin by choice. You don't sin by accident. Like, I don't know how that happened. How many times people say that? Well, I don't know how that happened, but here we are. And I think, really? Yeah, you do. You made a choice. If ever there's sin in your life, you made a choice. You made a choice to be able to fall into it. You made a choice to open that door. You made a choice to hold on to that thought. For a man, he sees a woman, and what happens? There's a thought that comes into his head. She's a beautiful woman. He's just noticed that, and there's a thought that comes to his head. Now, because men are more visually drawn, stimulated than women, so that comes in. Now, did you have a choice? No. You just saw it, and it happened. Bam. Now, what are you going to do with the thought? Now, if you're going to go, and hold on to it, now you're in trouble. You've just made a choice. And so you've sinned in your thoughts. But if you immediately rejected the thought and said, Lord, you know, I'm going to be an overcomer, and you changed your mind, it's not a sin, it's just a temptation. So whenever the enemy throws something in your pathway as a temptation, that's not a sin. Because it only becomes a sin when you hold on to it and start toying and playing with it in your head. And let me say, when you play with things in your head, you have no idea where it's going to lead in your life. You may say, I would never do that, but you don't know. Because when you play with it in your mind, you open up. Now, Jesus was tempted three times, and those temptations, the enemy said, tell these stones to become bread. Because he'd fasted for 40 days, and that's a pretty reasonable thing that he would have been hungry. So it was a point or place where there was weakness. Throw yourself down from this temple, the enemy says, and brings this to him. And Jesus refuses once again. If you will bow down and worship me, the enemy gives that kind of indication that he had all power over this earth. And did he have all power over this earth? Yes, he does. Remember, he's the prince of the power of the air. So he has been given dominion. So you kind of wonder why we see so much evil in this world. Well, it's because the enemy has dominion right now. This is not where we're going to be eternally. This is just a temporary place that we are. So we understand that the enemy has power to bring temptation to each of our lives. Three times Jesus resisted the temptation. So every time the temptation came, he resisted because he knew of how important it was that he be sinless for us. We have to resist temptation as well. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sin. Empathize with our weakness, but with one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. important part. He did not sin. That could be underlined or circled because that we know is characteristic. He did not. He was tempted. He can empathize. You know, somebody can sympathize. That means they feel sad for you. Somebody that can empathize means they feel what you feel because they have had that experience. So there's something really different when somebody says that you've experienced a loss and they feel sad for you. That's sympathy. But if they've had the same loss, they empathize for you. And so they know what it is. And so as we see, he empathized with our weakness because he was tempted in the same way. Important thing that we'd have to remember. Three times Jesus quoted scripture, it is written, and resisted it. It is written and resisted. If this worked for Jesus, do you think we should try this? Seems like it might, huh? It is written. But if you don't know what's written, how can you respond? Let me say this. The enemy knows your weakness, and trust me, it doesn't change that much. Like, it's pretty much the same place he comes back every time. He's going to keep coming back and coming back because it's your weakness. And he's going to keep coming back. So what you have to do, get that defense ready. Change immediately. It is written, give scripture, and move on. Don't stay there. Don't keep saying, Lord, help me not to think about, and then whatever that sin is. Now, that's not going to work. I can guarantee you, if you're going to say, oh, Lord, help me not to think about sex, greed, jealousy, envy, help me not to think about, you're thinking about it while you're praying it. So it's not going to work. That doesn't help. What you have to do is change your mind, transform your thoughts. And so it is written, have scripture that's available to help you, and then change and think on something else. So because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. That's the message that he wants for us. Victory over temptation is only possible through the power of the Word of God and the strength of his Spirit in us. That's what we have to remember. We're all going to be tempted. We're never going to be not tempted anymore. You're never too old. You've never been a Christian too long. You're always going to be tempted. Now, it's going to kind of take a different tour or a different path to get to us, but it's always going to happen. And that's why we have to watch and be prepared as a result. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, circle that. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So look for the door to get out. The power of God to be able to work in our life and to be able to bring forgiveness no matter what the sin is, no matter how we gave in to temptation. The gospel, Jesus' ministry is confirmed by the clear message of the gospel. And that's exactly what we need to hear. We need to make sure there's a clear message that's taught to us. We see scripture says you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I don't know why all churches don't teach the importance of being born again. If it is the message of salvation, if it's the message that's going to change your eternal destiny, if it's the message that everyone needs to hear, I don't know why it's not shared on a regular basis in churches across America. But there are many that want to just teach you and tell you, you just need to be a better person. Well, that's not going to get you to heaven. You can be a really great person, a really wonderful person, a kind person, a compassionate person, and it's still not going to get you to heaven. Because if it did, you could get to heaven on your good works, and Jesus wasted his life in giving it for you, because you could get there by yourself. No, there's a message that we need to hear that every one of us, Jesus' words are that, we must be born again. So every one of us has to have a point and place in our life when we are born again. We don't kind of always be a Christian. I hear people say, well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. That would mean that you were born a Christian. And no one's born a Christian. We are born again, a second time, a second birth. And that's why it's necessary that there be a second time in our life when we are born, once physically twice spiritually, and the importance of making sure that happens for each one of us. And that's why Jesus said, "Verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So every one of us has to have that moment, that time, that place in our life where we said, "Okay, I give my life fully to you, God. I invite you to take control of my life. I want to be born again." That is new birth that all of us need. Jesus calls us to this new beginning. And so it's an important step. It's an important message that I have this new beginning in my life. I was, but now I am. And there's a great difference. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That's the message that we have. We become a new person. We can't just become a better person. We become a new person. And that's why the message of salvation is so important and so critical. And the message needs to go out. And we try to make sure that message is heard over and over and over. That's why we light candles. That's why we celebrate new life. Because every person needs to come to that saving message of being born again so they know. Jesus calls us to repent from our old life and to walk in a new life. Now, repent means this. I was walking in this direction. I turn around. I don't continue in that way. I walk in a new life. That's repent. So one, I was walking and headed in that direction. I have now made a choice that I want to be born again. So I now walk in a different direction. That's why there's got to be a life change. Whenever I hear people talk about that they were born again, or they said, "Oh yeah, I prayed that prayer." And I say, "Okay, well, help me know, was there like a life change that happened after that?" And they go, "Well, didn't happen. Didn't happen." See, you've got to have a life change. That's repentance. You've got to have a turning from where you were to a new life. So new values, new truth, new belief, new lifestyle. So it's all changed when we are born again. And so that's why the scripture says, repent then and turn to God. See, repent, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And so that's what takes place when we repent. The mandate is to trust by faith the completed work of God in our life. And that's why it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. See, not just becoming a better person or a good person. That's great, but it's not enough. There are people who go on our mission trips who are very humanitarian. They're not all saved. They're not all believers. They just want to do good for other people. There are people in our community who want to do good for other people, and that's wonderful. I think that's what we need to make sure more happens in our world. But it doesn't save them. It just helps do good, but it doesn't save them. We are only saved by grace through faith. That's how it happens, not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast.
I am.
I am. I am nothing. I'm no one.
I am no one.
Untouchable, unwise.
Unchangeable, unlovable. Addicted, condemned.
In my eyes, I'm nothing.
But in his eyes, I am everything.
I am loved. I am accepted. I am not alone.
I am not alone. I'm free.
I'm free. I am free.
I'm nothing to this world, but I'm everything to Jesus.
I am loved. I am chosen. I am wanted.
I'm redeemed. I'm healed. I'm restored.
I am enough.
I'm baptized in his blood. I'm renewed. I'm sanctified.
I'm adopted.
I am a part of his family.
I am his son.
Yo soy su hijo.
I am his daughter.
I'm holy. I'm awesome in his way.
I am saved. He saved me.
I'm forgiven.
Forgiven of all I've ever done.
Of all I've ever done.
I have strength because of him.
I have peace in this life.
And the hope of one to come. I have his spirit.
And because of him, I live.
I am saved.
I am saved. He saved me.
I'm the son of a living God.
I am changing.
Because I am not who I was.
I'm not who I was.
I'm nothing to a world, but I'm everything to my Savior.
I am.
I am. Who are you?
And that's the transformation. It's not who we were, it's who we are and who what God has done for us in each of our lives. As a follower of Christ, there's a great importance of understanding the message. We need a clear testimony of our decision to follow him. Baptism's a great way, but we need a clear testimony. It's important that we would be able to make sure that this is where I was, this is who I am. This is who I was. This is who I am. I'm no longer the same person I was before. I am a new creation in Christ. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so that happens for every one of us as well. We were buried with Christ and we come to life through Christ. That is the resurrection. Our walk with Christ is going to be tested, but our decision to follow him must be a clear rejection of temptation and a heart that seeks to obey him. It's when we give in to temptation, there should be sadness, sorrow. I am repentance. I'm sorry, Lord. I fell into that again. I was going to be different, but I fell. That's how we know that Christ is living in us. When I gave my heart to Christ, I started to feel and think things differently than I thought before. That's the transformation. Then I started to resist temptation. Not always successful in resisting, but I wanted to resist. Before Christ, I didn't care. I just gave in to temptation. After Christ, I care and I want to make a transformation. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. We're all going to be tested, so don't be surprised as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You see, life change is not a secret mission, but it's a clear transformation with a desire to share the message with our world. So every one of us has to make a clear transformation. It's a life change. It's something, and it can't be secret. I mean, you may have made this decision for Christ at a point where you prayed a prayer and everybody's heads were bowed. Nobody knows except for me, or maybe I didn't even see it, but you prayed this prayer. You need to talk about it. It's not a secret mission we're on. It's a public acknowledgement of what God has done in our life. And that's why he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." So that is the message. I can't be ashamed of what God has done for me. I have a new life. That's how I know. So today is the day to begin your new life, to make a decision to have a clear testimony, to resist temptation, or to begin sharing the message of salvation with our world. There's an importance, for God says, "At just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now." Today is the day of salvation. No better time than when we say, "Yes, Lord, that's my heart's desire." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for the way that you talk to our lives. Thank the way that you speak to us. The challenge that you constantly put before us, that we are new creation. We are changed. We are coming into a whole new world. Father, I know that there are those that are here today that really need to say, "This is my day. This is the day I surrender my life to Christ and I give my life to him." There are those that are need to say, "This is the day I make a decision. I'm going to be baptized. I've really felt that before, but God's made it clear to my heart this morning. I need to follow in that." Maybe this is the day you're saying, "You know, I've been given into a temptation way too long, and I need to resist. And so today I am making a decision that I am going to resist. I am not going to find myself in that same place I find myself time and time again. Today is a day I want to really decide that I'm going to share Christ with someone. God has been speaking to my heart, and it's been kind of a secret message in my life, but I want to be one who's going to say, 'Yes, Lord, today is a day.'" God's been speaking to you in any one of those ways. Would you stand right where you are? Because I want to pray for you in closing. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Just say yes. this is a day I'm going to take a stand for God speaking to my heart, and I want to make sure this is my day. Would you stand? Amen. Amen. I don't know what God's doing in each heart and life, but I know he's working because I know his spirit is faithful. He's promised that he would be. And you're just saying yes today. Today is a day. Whatever it is, God's working in your life. You're saying yes. This is my day. And you want to stand right where you are. Anyone else? This is my day. I know God has been speaking to my heart this morning, and I want to make sure that I am going to be faithful to walking in it. And so I just want to take a stand. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm taking a stand to say today is the day. Anyone else? Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that's standing, each one that has said today is a day. It's a new day. It's a day that I am making a decision that I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to stand clearly for truth. I want that transformation to be in my life. I want to share with others. I want to resist temptation. I'm going to be baptized, or whatever the call that you're putting on hearts this morning. Help them to be faithful because they've taken a stand. Lord, I know how the enemy likes to toy with our heads and toy with our thoughts. And I know how he wants to try to attack us. But when we make a clear decision and we make a clear stand, this moment will be remembered. This moment will be held in our hearts and our lives that we're saying today is a day. It's a new day. Today is a day I'm going to see God make a difference through my life. Father, whatever it is, I ask that you would empower them, strengthen them, help them to see the difference that you want to be able to make. Let's all stand together. Father, go with us. Help us to let the light of Christ shine through our lives that others may see Jesus in us. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless you.